We are working through this series called Practicing the Way of Jesus. And the premise is that a disciple or an apprentice of Jesus is not only someone to believe in. Jesus is not only someone to believe in. He is someone to become like. That's the premise, that believing in Jesus brings a transformation of heart by the Holy Spirit. He gives us regeneration, salvation. But then after that comes this apprenticeship relationship, this disciple relationship with Jesus. We believe him, but we also spend a lifetime becoming like him. And so that's what we're focused on for 9 months. We'll go through this journey together, and it's designed to help us move from gathering information to experiencing formation. And in fact, that we do that by building a Jesus-centered rhythm of life. And we do that through 9 intentional practices, spiritual practices, that if you want to become like Jesus, you have to inject these practices into the everyday stuff of life. And each month, we'll focus on one core practice. And we're on our 4th practice this month. And they are practices that are revealed in Scripture. These are practices that are embodied in the everyday life of Jesus. And we get to practice these practices together in community instead of trying to work this up on our own. And these are practices that are needed for apprenticeship. Living, practicing the way of Jesus. So we're on the 4th practice, and the next one that we'll cover together is practice. And everybody together go, oh no. Everyone knows what real hunger feels like. Everyone knows what physical hunger feels like. You skip a meal. Some people told me, I've heard people say at times that they've forgotten to eat. No idea what that would be like. No idea what that would be like at all. You skip a meal or you miss a meal and your stomach starts reminding you, here I am, don't forget about me. The rumbly and the tumbly in the tummy and all of that, your focus begins to, if you're hungry where you're supposed to be locked in on one thing and the hunger starts to draw your focus onto off what you're supposed to be focusing on and losing your focus, and everything in you is just kind of like craving, I need something now. I need something now. My wife has a condition with motion sickness, and there are times where the only thing that can help her motion sickness is having a little bite to eat. And while we're on the road, she'll flip the car upside down just to see what falls out of the seats. And I got to have something right now, right away, or I'm going to lose it. And perhaps some of you have experienced a syndrome called hangry, right? Where your hunger is forcing you against your will into a complete state of anger. And hangry people are difficult to deal with. The deeper question is this: what if your physical hunger is pointing you to a deeper hunger? What if your physical hunger is only really a surface-level representation of something far deeper that we hunger for? What if we can better understand spiritual desires and hunger and craving just by kind of understanding and staying in tune with how our physical hunger works? Most people today never feel that deeper hunger. Most people today never really engage, process, or otherwise understand that there is far more of a hunger that exists in our lives than just physical hunger, and that's a spiritual hunger, but they never, ever sense or feel that deeper hunger. And here's the reason: because we're constantly full of food, constantly full of noise, and constantly full of distraction, And unknowingly, we have lost our appetite for God. We have lost our craving. We have lost our sense of longing for a spiritual filling because our minds, lives, and bodies are overflowing with stuff. We lose our appetite for God. So what did God do to help us get better in tune with our appetite for God? He designed something called fasting. He designed something aimed at our body to help us get better in touch with our spirit. He designed something for our body to help us get better in tune with our spirit. And that is called fasting. So God designed fasting. Why did he design fasting? Fasting is how we wake that hunger back up. Fasting is how we stir up that hunger for God again. Here's the definition. So we know what we're referring to when we say fasting. We're talking about intentionally going without food to awaken our dependence on God. Now, many of you recognize that there are other kinds of fasts. You can fast other habits that you could fast other different aspects of your life that you want to take a break from, right? But specifically, Jesus, when he's referring to fasting, he's not referring to a social media fast. He's not referring to a TV fast or a shopping fast or a. He's referring to specifically going without food to awaken our dependence on God. The author of our supplemental book for this series called Practicing the Way, John Mark Comer, he says fasting is a way of offering our bodies to God as an act of worship, saying, here's my body, I'm offering it to you, I'm going without as an act of worship. It's not just a vague, spiritual, or mystical sacrifice or worship. It is literally physical obedience that we practice with our bodies. In the modern world, and I think this is generally true, in our modern world, you are more likely to hear about fasting from a Muslim, a Buddhist, a fitness guru, a nutrition expert, than you are to hear about fasting from a serious disciple of Jesus. Would you generally, do you think that's true? Most followers of Jesus in the West, we'll say in our country, for example, most followers of Jesus in the West no longer fast. And if they do, it's rarely on a weekly basis, despite the fact that it was common practice of the church for well over a millennia and a half to practice fasting. Yet, in the teaching on fasting, when Jesus is describing fasting to his disciples, he's practicing his way, and then he's describing to them how to practice the way. In Matthew 6:16, this is what Jesus says, "But when you fast, don't make it obvious, but when you fast." There's a highlighted word there. And we would be wise to take a minute to absorb that word. When you fast. Maybe I should have highlighted when you fast. When you fast, not when someone else fasts or when the Muslims fast or the Buddhists fast or the nutrition expert fasts or when the fitness guru fasts. When you fast. Did you notice something specific? The word when is not the word if. Practicing the way of Jesus does not include if on occasion you're really overwhelmed or overcome, or if you become a monk and you decide to fast, or in that order you're forced to fast. Jesus assumed that his apprentices would follow his example of fasting, and he said, when you fast, not if. The assumption is that fasting is normal for those who are following Jesus, those who are apprenticing Jesus. Not optional for apprentices. It's expected. So the question is, what if we're missing out What if we're missing out on one of the most essential and most powerful of all of Jesus' practices? Why, when Jesus is referring to fasting here, he's referring to food. Why is Jesus referring to food? Well, number one, it's a daily necessity. Secondly, it's a natural appetite. That to be human is to have an appetite for food. And it's a primary source of comfort. There's all different kinds of reasons why we are forced to eat, and food is natural, it is normal, it is a desire that we are born with, and there's so many other things it does, including comfort us. It's something we rely on without even thinking. So when it's removed, you expose what you really rely on. Anything that's removed from our lives will teach us how much we need it. You don't know what you need or expect until it's gone. And then you discover what it is that you are relying on. Think about this happens to me on a regular basis. If you can imagine with me, you're at your workplace or wherever it is that you spend a lot of time, and if you have your phone plugged in, I have my phone on a little magnet that sticks up on a little holder, and it's charging all day long. And I've noticed that if my phone is plugged in like that all day long, I never notice how much I'm depending on the power of the phone. And I don't even think about, I just assume that power is going to be running at 100. But then I unplug it, I leave for a period of time and start to work on my phone, and I start to use my phone, and the battery just starts dropping out. And I start seeing this number go from 100 to 84 to 72 to 46, and I'm kind of like, what in the world? Because when that is plugged in, there is no sense of urgency. But as soon as I go any length of time without that phone powered in or plugged in, then I start to sense that I am running out of juice. I am running out of gas. I'm running out of battery power here. And fasting unplugs our body from our power source, our natural sources. So you realize in some sense of urgency, when you're fasting, you realize with some sense of urgency, I am not as self-sufficient as I thought I was. I am not fully reliant upon myself like I thought I was. And so in some sense, fasting is to unplug our body from a natural source of power and energy. And now the urgency starts to ramp up where we start to question, wow, where is my energy coming from? Where's my power coming from? And fasting is designed to do several things. One of the things it's designed to do is this. Fasting reveals your true dependence. Fasting is a revelation. Fasting shows us something. Fasting helps us see something that we wouldn't see otherwise, and that is our true dependencies. Here's what Jesus says. He goes on after when you fast. He says, comb your hair, wash your face, then no one will notice that you are fasting except your Father who knows what you do in private. Fasting exposes your idols. And it does so without having to go looking for them. You know, there's a lot of times where a good preacher says, if you take time to prayerfully consider, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you those things that are good and you've made them a God thing. Something that God has provided for you to enjoy, but now you don't just enjoy it, you worship it. Something that God has given you as a gift, but you don't worship the giver, you worship the gift. And you place your hope in that thing. You place your joy in that thing. The answers to all of your life's questions are in that thing, and you've taken a good thing and you've elevated a God thing, and a good preacher might say, so we take time to let the Holy Spirit expose those things to us as we prayerfully consider what might those idols be. Fasting is a shortcut. When you start fasting, you don't have to go looking for what are my idols. What we've discovered is that fasting exposes those idols. without needing to go look for them. Jesus here is teaching, and he's saying, let me give you an example of exposing your idols. Fasting even exposes idols of self-righteousness. How would I know if I have the idol of self-righteousness? Well, you start to fast, and you want everybody to know you're fasting. You want everybody to know how righteous you are. And the Pharisees, of course, the powerful rule keepers and the rule enforcers who were in a power position wanted to make sure that everybody knew that they were up here and everybody else was down here. And one of the ways that they would do it is that they would fast, and then you can imagine that Jesus here is describing something they're doing. They allow themselves to get a little disheveled. They allow themselves to get a little bit grimy, and they might mention in conversation or otherwise announce very subtly to everybody that they are suffering now for the Father in heaven. They're not just following the rules, but now they're self-sacrificing and they're going without. And look how emaciated I'm looking because I'm so desperate for you to notice how spiritual I am, certainly more spiritual than you are. And Jesus is saying here that when you're fasting, it even exposes the idol of self-righteousness, wanting other people to notice how righteous you are, that you're more righteous than the common person. And here we see that fasting is a way of exposing the idols of the Pharisees who were hungry for attention, hungry to be recognized. Fasting in public revealed their appetite for glory. In other words, they had an appetite to do the right things, but Jesus is exposing that they're doing the right things for the wrong reasons. Most of us are very, very quick to identify somebody who's doing the wrong things. Jesus is saying fasting helps us identify when we're doing the right things, but for the wrong reasons. Now, which one is sin, doing the wrong things or doing the right things for the wrong reasons? Jesus is saying, it's the same. You're the same. No difference. And Jesus is saying, you fast for the right reasons. So you're going to go without food, but you're going to get that hair neatened up. You're going to get that face refreshed a little bit. So people aren't saying, whoa, you look like you've been fasting. Oh, you are impressive. You are a spiritual giant. I wish I was more. Man, look at you. And Jesus is saying, stop doing that. Stop doing that. When you're fasting, go about it in such a way that no one will notice. Oh, I don't mean no one. Because we know that your Father in heaven already knows. He's your audience. And you can fast in such a way as you can look that idol of self-righteousness in the face. You can look that idol of hunger for God, for your own glory. Or you can look that idol in the face of hungry for attention. And you can say, I am going to confront you. And I'm going to fast in such a way that it's simply for one single audience. As the Father in heaven who already knows. He already knows what I'm doing in private. God knows you're fasting. We don't need anybody else to notice. You start noticing when you're fasting, I think, you start noticing how often you turn to food for comfort. I can imagine that some of you have had experiences fasting, and there is this period of time where you don't really know what to do with yourself. Like, this is the period of time where I'm normally doing this, or I'm doing this, or I'm pulling the drawers, or I'm opening the pantry. Now what am I going to do with myself? I'm food prepping. I am cooking. I am mixing. I am doing something. And then when you're fasting, you're like, I don't have any idea what I should be doing right now with myself. And we notice that oftentimes fasting reveals how often that we turn to food for comfort. Fasting reveals how quickly we avoid discomfort. I've noticed this about myself. If it's not time to eat, but I thought about eating, it's time to eat. Don't go by the clock, just go by the thought that I could probably eat right now. Oh, it must be time to eat. No, not really. If you listen to your body's telling you, please, no, not again. Not again. Also, fasting You start noticing how little you rely on God moment to moment. You rely on our own energy, our own solutions, our own sources of comfort. When you fast, you don't become weaker, you become more aware. You become more alert. You begin to see the under-the-surface motives that you would have never seen before, because fasting sharpens your awareness. And it actually reveals things like this. Fasting reveals what controls us. Now, I recognize that some of you aren't controlled by food. I recognize that not everybody has this dilemma in their life. But sometimes, or I should say for some of us, and maybe I could say for most of us, that our food appetite is a controlling factor in our lives. Anybody a stress eater? Comfort eater? Anybody I treat my boredom by eating? I mean, essentially, it's every possible reason all day long. I remember going through a period of time eating because I was discouraged, and then being discouraged that I ate so much. And then realizing the only way to treat that discouragement is to eat a little more, and then I'm a little more discouraged that I'm eating so much. What a death spiral that is. So, fasting reveals what controls us. How does that happen? Well, there's a withdrawal effect. Someone who gives up something that they depend on has a reaction. You've heard of this with substance abuse. There's a withdrawal period. And some of us are addicted to a different kind of drug that's not illegal, called caffeine. And you might recall a time in your life where you either decided to, or you were unwillingly, involuntarily without caffeine for a bit. There is a withdrawal effect. Anybody ever experience headaches when you didn't get the caffeine that you're dependent on? And your body starts saying, don't forget about the caffeine. I'm expecting it. Irritability. Headaches, irritability, and cravings, the longing for, I got to get there, I got to get to it, I got to find a way. Giving up something doesn't create dependence, it reveals dependence. And withdrawal effects are a way of your body telling you, you're dependent on this. And when there is withdrawal from food while you're fasting, it's a reminder, you're dependent on this. It's revealed. John Mark Comer suggests through fasting, something else happens as well. Fasting trains you to say no. By this practice of fasting, you begin to train. You are able to train yourself, train your body, train your mind to say no. We live in a world where every craving can be satisfied, and satisfied instantly, not eventually, but instantly. Every desire can be acted upon immediately. That creates, in Jesus's lifestyle, that would indicate a weak disciple. No ability, no willingness to delay anything. Any desire, any craving satisfied instantly. Think of it this way. If you can't say no to food, you'll struggle to say no to sin. If you can't say no to food, the enticement of sin will be even that much more difficult to say no to, or to resist, or to avoid, or to flee from. Here's a spiritual reality. Fasting is like resistance training for your soul. Delay, resist. Delay, resist. Eventually, this fasting builds an inner strength to be in control of one's body. Practiced over time. You deny yourself something good so you can say no to something destructive. You learn to deny yourself something good so that you can say no to something destructive. And it's a practice that's developed. So the goal of fasting is not just discipline. It's not just being able to say no or disciplining yourself. It's actually something deeper. And it's here, fasting deepens your desire for God. The goal is not just discipline, but it's also desire. It's also to deepen a desire for God, and that's important. That's crucial for us. Fasting is not just spiritual, it's tangible, physical obedience to say, Father in heaven, my body, my appetites, my cravings, they belong to you. This is an obedience, a sacrifice, physical obedience that's tangible, and this is for you. But Jesus told him, no, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone. People don't just, they're not just living on physical food, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. So fasting allows us to yearn for God with our whole selves. Not just our spiritual selves, but our physical selves. And it kind of gets our apprenticeship all the way into our hungry bodies. Not just mystical, not just spiritual, but all the way into our physical bodies. Fasting kind of gets our discipleship and apprenticeship, works it all the way into those specifics. And Jesus doesn't give specific requirements for fasting. But did you know historically across the world, the church of Jesus has fasted historically 2 days a week. 2 days a week historically. Where the church would call for a fast even on occasion for targeted times of crisis. So God's church would be regularly fasting a couple days a week and then during times of crisis would call for an extra fast. This was normative for Jesus' church until eventually Christianity came to the West. And here in the West is where we were like, nah, let's not do that anymore. But around the world, the Church of Jesus works in a couple full days of fasting every week. And some of you I know, you're like, a couple of days or a couple hours? Let's be clear. So when reflecting on our desire for bread, when we take a minute and we reflect on our desire for bread, can we compare that to our desire to hear from God and to know God? Can we compare that? There is a desire for bread probably for a lot of us that is nagging and yearning and longing all day long. I know this, that even before I go to sleep, I'm thinking about my breakfast when I wake up. I'm sorry to tell you this. I'm already thinking about what's breakfast. Sometimes I think to myself, oh, let's do sleeps real quick because the sooner I do sleeps, then the quicker I get to breakfast. Sweetie, you're going to bed already? Yes, because if I go to bed now, then breakfast is here quicker. And my wife's like, it's 7:40. But there's a longing there for breakfast that is representative, and Jesus here, I want you to notice this. This is not my comparison. This is Jesus' comparison. Bread, Word of God. And there's a comparison. And Jesus is teaching, listen, you have a natural desire that's longing for bread. But pay attention. Be alert. People do not live by their appetite for food alone. There is another appetite called the spiritual appetite, and this appetite is in there somewhere. This God-given appetite to see and know and hear from the Father in heaven who's revealing himself, and he's revealing himself by his words he can be known. And Jesus is teaching that there is another appetite called a spiritual appetite where your desire for God can be stirred up, but oftentimes in direct conflict with that appetite is a physical appetite. When reflecting on our desire for bread, Jesus is saying, compare it. Compare it for your desire for God's word. Fasting does something rare. Fasting helps reorder our loves. It helps us discover, it reveals and reorders our loves. It gives us a physical, tangible, obedient way to say, I love food, but I am going to be sure that food is not my top desire, my top appetite, my top driver, my top motive, my top source of energy. It's going to instead be put in its rightful place as a natural, normal, physical appetite. But I'm not getting dragged around or driven around by this physical appetite, because I am going to stir up and cultivate this energy source called every word of God. Every single revelation that God has given us of himself. And so fasting, in helping us reorder our loves, does this. Instead of comfort first, God second. Fasting says, God first, comfort second. And it helps us to practice that. Practice that and practice that. I don't know if any of you have ever ruined your appetite. Did you grow up with parents who said, you cannot eat that because you will ruin your appetite? Which I never understood that in my life. I've never experienced such a thing as ruining my appetite. It's never happened one time. But evidently that's the thing. Well, the idea is that if you snack all day, if you're constantly grazing, you don't really crave a real meal. You don't really crave a sustaining meal. And that's what constant comfort does spiritually. Constant comfort, constant input, or constant ingestion is numbing or overwhelming or hiding a spiritual appetite. And fasting clears out the junk so that you can hunger for something more, something deeper, something that we need that's even more crucial. And the reason why fasting matters today is because we are one of the most comfortable, one of the most well-fed, and one of the most distracted generations in history. And yet, at the same time, spiritually numb, and easily controlled, driven, and dragged around by our cravings, our natural cravings, which puts us in a state of being very, very weak in any of our resistance. Fasting pushes back against all of our culture's prevailing values. Fasting says, I am not going to be dragged around by my appetites. I'm not going to be driven by my cravings, by comfort. I am going to reorder the loves, and I am going to put comfort where it belongs. And our culture, by the way, you've probably noticed this, our culture has trained us to avoid discomfort. I can't tell you how often I myself have done this or have been tempted to do this, and that is every single discomfort in my life, just pray it away. Pray it away. This is uncomfortable. This period of time, this spell of joblessness, this financial crisis, this little physical ailment that I'm experiencing, this tension among these people, it's so uncomfortable. Pray it away. Pray it away. We are over and over and over again conditioned to an adverse reaction, an instinct to avoid discomfort. And yet Jesus trains us to embrace it. Embrace the discomfort. But do it for transformation, so that you experience transformation in your life, where you are able to say, I am not a slave to my appetite. Wouldn't that be great? Can you imagine a life where you can stand up for yourself and you can say with confidence, I mean, you're saying this to yourself, not to other people, but personally you're saying, I'm not a slave to my appetite. I'm not driven around by cravings. I don't need instant gratification. I can wait, I can delay, I can go without. Why? How is that possible? Because God is enough for me. I don't need anything more. So fasting isn't about earning God's love, obviously, proving your spirituality. It's literally about making space to experience God more deeply. If you can imagine... your dinner table after you've had a big full meal with lots and lots of people, and You've got all the dishes and you've got all of the cups and you've got all of the serving plates and all of it's there. If you can imagine our life is like that table, it's full of food, it's full of noise, it's full of people, it's full of distractions. There's no room left. It's so overrun by food clutter. Fasting is that moment where you say, let's take a minute, we're going to clear the table, and you make space for God to join the table and become a main guest at your dinner table. Clear the table. It's wide open, and here comes the Father in heaven to participate in my daily life. And God himself has the space in my heart to sit with me again. Fasting pushes back against all of our culture's prevailing values. So this week, choose one meal to skip, one single meal to skip. Use that time to seek God in heaven. Pay attention to what surfaces. And you might, during this one meal, you might ask yourself, what am I really hungry for? Is it really for food, or am I hungry for something deeper, something more spiritual? You might ask yourself during that time of reflection, during that one fast of a meal, what controls me? Am I finding myself wanting God more than I want comfort, or do I want comfort more than I want everything that God is? You don't fast to prove your strength. You fast to discover your need. And then to meet God right in that discovery. So here's what you do. Here's what I want to invite you to do. Very, very simple. Very, very first step in this practice. And here it is. You ready? Challenge your thinking. Challenge your thinking. I'm asking you to do this right now, not later, but right now. Challenge your thinking. Are you an if or a when thinker? When you think about fasting, are you an if I fast? Or are you a when I fast? And you ask that question because we're putting ourselves in the place of Jesus' disciples when he says, when you fast. And I wonder, would that be jarring? Would the way we think, would that be jarring when Jesus says, when you fast, and you think to yourself, when I fast? More like if ever. Jesus says, when you fast. And when you become an apprentice of Jesus, you are transformed into a when thinker. Let me say that again. When you were transformed, when you started fresh with a new heart, and when the Holy Spirit is now indwelling, and you were born again, and you were saved, you have been taking from a if I fast lifestyle to a when you fast lifestyle. No longer an if thinker. So here's a follow-up question. A follow-up question goes like this. Have I been closed? Have I been closed off? Have I been unwilling to be a when you fast disciple? Have I been closed off to that? Let me tell you, there's a phase of time where can you relate to having something really, really difficult to do, and you know that it won't take a lot of time, but it's not that easy, and there's an on-ramping to it. And by on-ramping, I mean like days and weeks of thinking about it. Days and weeks of trying to get yourself there. Days and weeks of like, oh, I just have to do this, but first I'm going to have to do that. But this is going to create more, and it's going to take this time, and it's going to stir up this kind of whatever. Maybe it's a conversation with somebody. Maybe it's a project you have to do at home. Maybe it's filling out the FAFSA form for your fourth child. And you're just letting it stay out there, but there's this period of ramp-up time. And here's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to get in the ramp-up time right now to the practice of fasting. The ramp-up time where you start thinking about your thinking. How am I thinking about this? Why am I so afraid? You know what I think? This happens to me with taxes too. Taxes and FAFSA, the same thing. FAFSA, by the way, if you're kind of like disconnected from what that is. It's the financial aid form for the government that you fill out for financial aid for colleges. So I do this with taxes and FAFSA. I put it off. I think about it for months ahead of time. And then when I finally get to it and do it, I always say the same thing. I wish I'd have done that sooner. That didn't take half the effort that I thought it would. I had it all worked up in my mind. Here's what I'm asking you to consider. What if it's possible that you and I, before we get to fasting, we got to get in that ramp-up time and we got to start thinking about it? And you got to have to ask yourself this question. This is the question. Am I open to being a when-you-fast disciple? Or am I going to hold my ground and I'm just going to be an if-you-fast? That's it. It's all I want you to think about. We're disciples. We're practicing the way. And Jesus is teaching on fasting. And he says, when you fast, when I fast, I'm asking you to open your heart to it and get in the phase where you're starting to consider there is going to be a time where I'm going to fast. A meal, a day, a weekend. I'll let the Holy Spirit deal with the rest of that sentence. But today, you can no longer say, I've never even really thought too much about fasting. Starting today, you can no longer say, I've really not given it much thought. Haven't really thought about it all that much. Or I've always thought it was for some kind of like more spiritually, like, I don't know, people that are like really being used by God, missionaries and super spiritual people. Nope, these were, I don't know if you know the disciples, but super spiritual is not a way to describe them. Let's pray together. Father, our church family, as we're gathered here together, we are dependent on you. Every single word that comes out of your mouth brings us life, nourishment. But we have cluttered it up. We have overloaded our bodies. We have comforted ourselves to numbness and death. And I pray today that you would find each and every one of us making ourselves available for something new, something different. And I pray that you'd get in our thinking and begin by your Holy Spirit to start to turn our thinking upside down, to embrace the reality that you have made us when you fast people, not if you fast people. And only you can stir up what's needed to practice this. Only you can stir up what's required to practice this. Only you could break us free from the chains of comfort first. Only you can do it. And now, together, we open ourselves for you to be at work. Would you do it? Stir us up. As an active physical obedience, I wonder if any of you would raise your hand and say, I'm putting myself on that ramp up. I'm doing it. Would you slip your hand up? Who am I praying for? I'm putting myself on that ramp up. I am preparing myself to be a when you fast person. Thanks for doing that. It's just an act. It's all it is, just an act of physical obedience saying, I'm willing. Thank you, Father, for all that Jesus is. His life, death, burial, resurrection. The newness of life that comes by practicing his way. Not our way, not our world's way. We embrace it together in Jesus' name. Rescuing name, powerful name, saving name. Amen. Would you stand? We're going to sing these truths together.